Hello, hockey fans, and welcome to the Prospect Podcast. I am Edward Fraser, back after an extended hiatus, a little Christmas break for some moving and some renos. I know y'all missed me, because you're tuning in to hear me, not, of course, the man who knows it all about prospects, Ryan Kennedy. He's here with us, of course. On today's show, we're going to start off with the headlines as usual. Got an interview with St. Louis prospect Tage Thompson, and our team spotlight is the Nashville Predators. Boy, oh boy, that is a murderer's row of prospects the Predators have acquired over the past few years. But Ryan, let's start with those headlines and let's take a look at the USHL Top Prospects game.
Yeah, this is always a pretty good event to get a sense of where the top kids are from the USHL. They do not include NTDP kids in this game, and traditionally that's where a lot of the first rounders from that league come from. So this is a way for, you know, some other kids to get the spotlight. And you know, it was a pretty good game, 4-3 final, and Tyler Madden was the Team East MVP, and he's the son of John Madden, the former New Jersey Devils grinder slash underrated star, I guess you could say. Madden's interesting to me. I've seen him a couple of times now. Started the season with Central Illinois, got traded to Tri-City, and actually Tri-City was hosting the game, so kind of fun for the fans there. He's a Northeastern commit. He's got some nice offensive upside. Not the biggest kid in the world, but I'm curious to see where he goes. I think he's probably sort of a mid-rounder right now, but it's good to see sort of the consistency of those performances. And he's been pretty good for the Storm so far. I believe he has 5 goals in his first 7 games, so he's slightly over his pace that he had with Central Illinois. So it's good to see the growth there.
Forward like his father?
Forward like his father. Another forward that, very interesting to me, Ryan Savage. Again, son of an NHLer, Brian Savage. Ryan plays for the Fargo Force. I was talking to a scout about him the other day, and he was a little perplexed because he was saying with Fargo, Ryan seems to struggle a bit offensively, hasn't really impressed too much, but every time he goes to a prospect game, he dazzles. So early in the season, there was the All-American Prospects game. I was there. It was in Buffalo. Ryan Savage was awesome, had a couple of great goals. And then at the USHL Top Prospects game this week, he had another highlight reel goal, just a great one, and he was actually MVP for Team West. You know, I think for scouts, it's going to be a bit of a challenge to say, is it that, you know, Fargo's not a good fit for Savage, or is it that he just happens to play very well when the spotlight's on him? He's headed to Miami, so it'll be interesting to see what he can do there. But yeah, again, probably like a mid-round guy at this point. And it'll be interesting to see what happens there. One other player that I'll mention, because I have a fun backstory here, Willem DeVoe, plays for Des Moines, started the season with Tri-City, got traded to the Buccaneers recently. He's a Harvard commit. He had a fight with the fantastically named Zan Gurney. That's X-A-N for those of you scoring at home. DeVoe, he's a strong kid, and for those of you who follow me on Twitter, you'll see my pinned tweet is a couple of years ago, the OHL let me do their combine. And the final event was the Wingate bike that a lot of people might know from the NHL combine. And essentially, you know, you're on a stationary bike and you're supposed to pedal as fast as you can for 30 seconds, but they drop weights as soon as you start it. So you're pedaling against these weights. And my score was the best among the 3 media folk that did it that day. Hurrah. And I don't remember exactly what the score was, but let's just say it was like 5,000 or something like that. The top kid that day, who was 15 or 16 years old, was Willem DeVoe.
Oh, nice.
And his score was like 9,000. Like, he just blew me out of the water. So I always say, like, you know, when it comes to these elite hockey players, like, their athleticism, even when they're teenagers, not even full-grown men, is so far past, you know, regular folks like us. So I'm not sure what sort of upside DeVoe necessarily has. I don't know there's a lot of offense in his game, but you're getting a strong kid that's willing to drop the gloves. So be fun to see what happens with him.
He can crush you in the wind gate, but he can't write a story nearly as well as you can.
I assume he's going to Harvard, so maybe he can. I don't know.
We're gonna shortlist him for the next job here.
Yeah.
Also, another top prospects game, and with no disrespect to the USHL game, the CHL prospect game, a lot more star power coming out in that contest.
Very much so. And, I mean, you're pulling together all three leagues, so that's not surprising. This game is happening in Guelph next week. And the two captains were named Ty Smith, the offensive defenseman for the Spokane Chiefs. I expect him to be in the sort of, like, 9 to 15 range in the draft. There's a lot of good puck-moving defensemen, so the big question right now is what order do they go in and how many teams want them early on. The other captain, Joe Valeno, out of the Quebec League, Valeno started the season with St. John, was traded recently to Drummondville, which is very interesting because, I mean, you don't see a potential first-rounder go and get traded in his draft year, but St. John, they're beginning to rebuild. You know, they went all the way to the Memorial Cup tournament last year. So, you know, for Valeno, this is a good chance for him to show off his stuff. And, you know, he had the exceptional status, so he's been in the Quebec League a year longer than most players. Some of the assistants to keep an eye out for: Ryan Merkley, who, of course, plays for the host Guelph Storm. Evan Bouchard from the London Knights, he'll be a good one to watch for. A couple of other players. Should be a good one. Andrei Svechnikov. From the Barrie Colts. He will be the top-rated prospect in this game. I still have him at number 2 in my draft rankings. You know, you got Filip Zadina, you got Brady Tkachuk. I'm sure they'll be in the mix as well, behind Rasmus Dahlin. But Svechnikov, I think he'll be a pretty interesting one. And it'll be good to see because he had a smaller role at the World Juniors with Russia. They always kind of go with their vets. And he was just coming back from a hand injury. So, you know, he was still getting into form. But I expect him to have a huge second half at the Barrie Colts. He's been great for the Colts every time he's been in the lineup, and he's got that great big frame, and he's not a one-dimensional guy. He can do a lot of different things out there, so this will be a nice showcase. And of course, like with Filip Zadina, I mean, it's just been such a fun show. At the World Juniors, he was great for the Czechs, and it'll be fun to see what he can do against, you know, his fellow 17 and 18-year-olds.
How much can a boffo performance in one of these showcase games affect a guy's draft stock?
I think if you're not as well known, if you might be kind of a second or third rounder, and if you have a great performance, then I think it can really help your stock. With the top end guys, I find that execs and scouts often tell me, you know, you can't hurt your stock in these games, but you can raise it. So it becomes kind of a confirmation if you're really good. And, you know, if you're a little less well-known, then maybe, you know, you make your mark. I mean, Henry Jokiharju is a pretty good example, where last year, you know, I believe he had 3 assists in the game, and he was, like, one of the MVPs, and Chicago ended up taking him in the first round out of Portland. You know, would he have gotten there anyways just with his strong play with the Winterhawks? Maybe, but, I mean, it kind of puts you on the radar even more so, and you get a little more hype, so it's kind of a fun thing.
Turning stateside, the long list, the very long list of Hobie Baker nominees is out. Ryan, give us a few names of realistic candidates to take home that hardware.
Yeah, amongst the 74 or so, it was either 74 or 78. I mean, a lot of this is for fan voting purposes, but it is fun to see the names out there. Adam Gaudette with Northeastern University. He's a Vancouver Canucks prospect. Talked about him a lot and written about him a lot this year because the Huskies have been so good, and he's been their top scorer. Two-way guy, plays the game the right way, obviously has some nice offense. I feel that, you know, based on his trajectory, I wouldn't be surprised if he made a run for the Canucks as soon as next year. I mean, I know they have Elias Pettersson coming down the pipeline, and he looks like he's coming in hot. But, I mean, Gaudette, he's got a lot of different skills, and I think he could be, you know, somebody that gets in some games sooner than later. At the least, you know, I think next year, you know, he'll be in Utica and pretty successful. Tanner Lisinski, the Philadelphia Flyers pick. He's playing for Ohio State, another guy that's putting up a ton of points, you know, one of the top guys in the nation. Plays a gritty game, and like I say, obviously he's got some offense as well. I see him as like one of those sort of perfect modern bottom sixers, you know, like a guy that can, he's hard to play against, but he can get you some secondary or tertiary offense if you need it. And for the Flyers, you know, they have a lot of good young defensemen, and, you know, they have Nolan Patrick. But I think Lisinski, you know, once he turns pro, I think he can find a niche pretty quickly. Two other names to mention, Cale Morris, the goaltender for Notre Dame. He's having an insane year. I think he only has one loss. I think he's like 17-1 right now. Save percentage is like 940, 950. The Fighting Irish are just playing out of their minds. And, you know, Morris, he's not drafted by anyone, but playing very well. I don't think you can ignore that. Jake Evans with Montreal. He's another player for Notre Dame that's doing very well. And the last name I'm going to mention is Ryan Donato, Harvard University. Harvard doesn't play as many games as most programs, so you kind of have to look at the points per game. But Donato, he's a Boston Bruins pick, and he's got 25 points through 17 games, which is very impressive. Great hands on this kid, just a great offensive tool set. Son of a coach, so you know he gets it. So it'll be interesting to see how he can do in the second half and how much love he can get.
Our interview this week is with Tage Thompson, St. Louis Blues prospect. Ryan had a chance to sit down and chat with him earlier this week.
I'm here with Tage Thompson of the St. Louis Blues, and Tage, to start off with, you're up with the big club right now. How does it feel to get in those NHL games and to get that experience?
Oh, it's awesome. Obviously, you dream of playing in the NHL, and when it finally happens, you know, you just try to do everything you can to stay there.
Now, it's sort of an interesting situation with the Blues this year in that they have two AHL affiliates splitting players. You're in San Antonio right now. You were in Chicago last year. What's it like when you're down in the AHL and not every one of your teammates is actually Blues property?
Yeah, it's a unique situation. I know we played against Chicago while I was down there in San Antonio, which was pretty fun, you know, playing against some of the same prospects and guys that you hang out with in the summer. It was a pretty unique experience, but as far as the chemistry in San Antonio, I mean, it's good. You know, the guys are great. It's not as you know, weird environment as you'd probably think.
And when it comes to the travel, obviously the AHL, you know, it's known as a bus league, but I think that's probably changing a lot now with how much bigger the league is geographically. But when you're going to the NHL, going back to the AHL, are there things you have to do to just keep your mind in the right spot and make sure that you're getting to all the right places at the right time?
I mean, I guess it can be overwhelming at times, but you know, there's a lot of people around you to help you out, all the vets and the older guys and the staff, and obviously my parents, my dad's been through it, so he's always kind of helping me out between the transitions. And I think the main thing is just try not to focus too far ahead, just kind of take it one day at a time. I think if you do that, everything kind of takes care of itself.
Now, your dad, Brent, the former NHLer, is actually the head coach with the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. You haven't played them yet in the AHL, but do you talk to him much to sort of talk shop? And when you're in the AHL, just sort of what's going on in the league?
Yeah, I mean, usually he's catching most of my games, especially when I'm in the A. He gets to see those quite a bit. So we're always talking after games. He's letting me know what he thought of how I played or what I could be doing better, so It's a good relationship we have. It's you know, maybe not something I want to hear a lot of the times after games, but it's good for me because he's obviously played and coaches now, so he knows what it takes to make it to the NHL and stay there. So you know, obviously if I listen to him, I'll have success.
Now, I know that with a lot of NHL teams, they tell their young guys when they come up, you know, they want them to play their game. They don't want to change things. But I have to assume that you know, you have a bigger role in the AHL just by virtue of the talent level down there. How do you adjust when you come up to the NHL? Or do you? Do you just sort of go out when you have a shift and do Tage Thompson things?
Yeah, I don't think you have to adjust too much. I think that was the kind of the main point of why I got sent down the first time. The first four games up, I was playing a little safe. Didn't want to make turnovers, or, you know, I wasn't trying to make plays just because I was scared of getting sat or getting sent down. So I think my time in San Antonio, I just got back to playing my game, and second time around in St. Louis, you know, just playing my game up here, doing the same thing, and I think that's what I got to keep doing.
And finally, up here with St. Louis, one of your coaches is Daniel Tkachuk, who actually used to do writing for the Hockey News, and he's done a lot of stuff with us in the past, and I know he's a big guy in terms of skills training. Have you had much time to work with Daniel, and what has he taught you?
Yeah, I worked with him a lot, especially when I first came to Chicago. I was working with him after every practice, doing video. You know, he's still really good with me up here. You know, obviously, if you guys watch practice, you'll see me. Him grab me after practice and work on stuff, and you know, he's a great guy and a really good skills coach, and he's really good at what he does. So obviously, whenever he's got to show me or work with me on stuff, I'm all ears, and you know, just try to take it to heart and work on it.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
The 2018 draft spotlight this week is on the intriguing Oliver Wahlstrom. Ryan, tell us about him and what people can expect from him going forward.
Well, Oliver Wahlstrom is a very potent right winger with the National Team Development Program, which, as we know, has churned out some of the best American players in the NHL of late. He's got an elite shot. He goes to the hard areas. He also finds the soft areas, which I think is poetic that he does both. And he's a smart kid, student of the game. I had a scout tell me, he said he's kind of a hockey nerd. You know, he's really a student of the game. And he's playing on a line with Joel Farabee, who's also up for the draft this year. And right now, Jack Hughes, who's not up for the draft until 2019, he was called up from the under-17s. Jack Hughes, we're looking at him as being one of the top players, maybe the top pick overall in 2019. And so they got like this power top line right now at the NTDP. Right now, Wahlstrom, if you look at the offense he's producing, it's pretty good. I mean, it's better than anybody did last year with the NTDP. It was a bit of a weak crop last year. But it's not at the same level as, say, Clayton Keller the year before or Austin Matthews the year before that. Having said that, you know, you got a lot of good tools in this kid. And it's also interesting, he's been in the spotlight a long time. People have probably seen the YouTube video when he was a little kid doing crazy moves at a Boston Bruins game during intermission. And he's sort of been in the news a couple of times since then. But I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see him go somewhere in the, like, 6 to 10 range right now in the draft, because there's not a lot of, like, you know, high-end offensive guys. Like, after you get past Svechnikov and Zadina and Tkachuk, it really kind of opens up, and I think Wahlstrom can probably find himself in that company, that sort of second tier.
There's some question marks about where he's going to end up after this year.
Yeah, so as I said, he's been in the news for years. Part of it was because he committed to the University of Maine when he was 13. And, you know, it was a verbal commitment. And it's funny, anytime kids commit that young, they tend not to end up at those schools. And sure enough, you know, a couple years later, switched it up, committed to Harvard. Now, Harvard's a very hard school to get into academically. It's not the sort of school you just...
It's the Harvard of Harvards.
It's the Harvard of schools. It's the Cadillac of universities. Yeah, so he is committed to Harvard. I've talked to some scouts who are wondering if he will actually end up there, or will he go to the Quebec League after his draft year, after this summer. Cape Breton has his rights right now. I'm not sure if there have been any talks between Wahlstrom and folks in the Quebec League. Would he go to Cape Breton? You know, would he play for another team and Cape Breton trades his rights? I have no insider information on this. I'm just sort of telling you that scouts are really wondering if he'll end up in the NCAA or if he'll go major junior, because he is the sort of player that would probably be one and done in major junior and then go to the NHL after that. As of now, he's committed to Harvard, so Crimson fans, hope for the best.
Are there any specific weak spots to his game, or is it basically just a maturation process at this point?
Well, glad you asked. talking to scouts, you know, the defensive side of the game is a little spotty right now. And I think it's probably a case of, you know, with a young player that has always been offensively gifted, he hasn't really had to play a ton of defense. He's been successful, you know, kind of without doing it. But I would think for a kid that smart, he is quickly going to figure out that offense comes from defense, and if you're chasing pucks down, then you're going to get that puck faster, and you can go score those pretty goals that he scores. So I think he'll be okay in the long run, but he's certainly not a complete package right now. That's what he needs to work on the most.
If Wahlstrom's going to end up in the top half of the NHL draft this summer, it's very unlikely he will be going to the Nashville Predators, who is our spotlight team this week. We normally kind of go league by league, and I think we'll do that again. We usually leave the Europe till last, but let's start with the KHL this year because their most intriguing prospect is playing on that circuit.
Yeah, Eli Tolvanen playing for Jokerit, which is the Finnish-based KHL team. He's just been destroying things. He's already broken Evgeny Kuznetsov's rookie scoring record in the KHL, and he's still going. From what I'm hearing, Tolvanen is going to be playing for Nashville sooner than later. I'm wondering, you know, depending on when Jokerit's season finishes in the KHL, do we even see him with the Preds this year? We'll have to see how the schedule goes and what their immediate wants and needs are. But next year, I think he definitely gets a crack at the big squad. He's been playing against men all year, so you don't have to worry about that. My question with Tolvanen, because he's an elite sniper, we know that. He can put up points, no question about that. He seems to thrive more on big ice. And that's what they play on in the KHL for the most part. And, you know, when he was in the USHL, obviously that was North American ice, and, you know, he was just clowning teams. But, you know, that was also younger players. The two World Juniors that he has played in for Finland have both been on NHL ice. Buffalo this year, and then, you know, Toronto, Montreal the year before. And he didn't dominate, so I want to know what he can do when he has less time and space. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only question mark for me is how can he adapt to the North American pro game? So if he goes right to Nashville, obviously he's going to have to be a quick study. It'll be also interesting to see if he ends up in Milwaukee in the AHL, that would give him a great crash course in, you know, moving the puck faster, you know, making plays under duress, going to the dirty areas, which he's not necessarily known for right now. But, I mean, you look at the Preds and, you know, they have so much talent up front right now. When I say up front, I mean up top in the NHL, but more so on the defensive end, and on the offensive end, you've got some good guys like Philip Forsberg, obviously, but Tolvanen would really fill a nice niche for them.
The Predators have the luxury of having a top-end team right now, which means they can wait on some of their prospects, and I wonder if that leads to the reason why they have so many guys in the NCAA where prospects can tend to ruminate a little more.
Yeah, kind of interesting how that's worked out, and you're right. I mean, you look at some of their most prominent kids, and they're all NCAA. They're actually, a lot of them are Boston University, to be specific.
There's worse programs you could have kids developing at.
Exactly. I mean, under David Quinn, they've been really good in recent years in terms of recruiting NHL talent. Dante Fabbro is the most prominent name. We saw him at the World Juniors. He was banged up, so I don't know if we saw the full Dante Fabbro experience. But, you know, I mean, worst case scenario, you're looking at a two-way defenseman that can play minutes and give you safe defensive play, gets the puck out of his own zone, makes a good first pass. I think he's the sort of guy where on Nashville, he might only be a third pairing guy to begin with because, like, who are you going to bump down from the top two pairings? But he would be, like, one of the best third pairing guys around. Two other players with the Terriers right now, Patrick Harper, who was one of the surprise freshmen in the nation last year, little water bug of a player, put up a ton of points. He's kind of leveled off a little bit this year. I mean, he's still putting up a good amount of offense and leading the Terriers. I thought he was he was a little quiet in the medal round at the World Juniors. It didn't really catch my eye too much. But, you know, but like I say, still producing, and he's going to be a four-year guy. You know, the more time he can spend in the gym, the better. And all that experience, I think, is going to be very good for him. The third player is David Ferentz. There's something interesting about the Terriers this year where, like Nashville in a lot of ways, they got too many defensemen. And because they have so many NHL-drafted defensemen and then a couple of upperclassmen, they've been rotating. So Ferentz hasn't played every single game. I think he's 17 of the first 22. And it's not necessarily an indictment of him himself. It's just, you know, they've got Kasper Kokkonen-Salo from the Detroit. They got Cameron Crotty from Arizona. Fabro's there. You know, they've got like a whole host of guys that need minutes. So Ferentz has been pretty limited. I think he only has 2 assists, but he's a great puck mover. And we saw him in the summer at the World Junior Summer Showcase. He didn't end up making the World Junior team, but in the Summer Showcase, he had one end-to-end rush that was just fantastic, like highlight reel goal. So the upside is definitely there. He's just going to have to be patient. I mean, some of those Terriers are going to move on this summer and he'll get more time. But he has to be patient because it's kind of an overstuffed program right now. Two more NCAA players to keep in mind. Grant Mismatch with the University of North Dakota. Great hockey name. Also, having a great freshman year. You know, North Dakota's not like a super powerhouse this season. But, you know, they got a lot of good players. And Mismatch, he was actually one of the better NCDP players from last year's squad. Plays with an edge, you know, a physical kid. He's got some good offensive upside as well. So he's marinating there, having a nice first year. And then Rem Pitlick over at the University of Minnesota, he's shown some nice chemistry with Casey Mittelstadt at times for the Gophers. Pitlick has got some NHL bloodlines and putting together, you know, another nice season. Bit of a under-the-radar guy when he got to college, but you know, he's got a big sturdy frame. He's not tall, but he's pretty stocky and you know, a pretty good creative instinct. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do.
Anyone in Canadian Major Junior who Preds fans should keep an eye on?
Well, one name is Jacob Paquette. He's a defenseman with the Kingston Frontenacs in the OHL. He was a late round pick. There's not a ton of offensive upside in his game, but you know, he's a big defenseman, and you know, he has those good sort of stay at home defensive skills, and you need those guys. He is putting up more offense this year than he did last year, but you know, as per a modest amount. I think what's most interesting for Preds fans is that Kingston went all in at the trade deadline. They really stocked up. So the hope, of course, is that they make a long playoff run, at least in the Eastern Conference. I don't think anybody has a chance against Sault Ste. Marie in the West. But I think Paquette, you know, if they can make a run, that'll be some good experience for him. And, you know, again, this is a player where you don't have to rush on him, but it'll be interesting to see what he develops into.
Let's finish off by looking at their prospects with the AHL Admirals squad.
Yeah, Milwaukee Admirals, you and I. Huge Milwaukee Admirals fans. Huge. From a sartorial...
Incredible jerseys.
Yeah, they knock it out of the park when it comes to jerseys. Skeleton Pirates all the way for us. Yeah, the Admirals this year, kind of a veteran-laden squad. Bobby Butler is their leading scorer. He's going to the Olympics with Team USA. Not a Preds prospect, just a pretty good AHLer. Alexander Carrier, offensive defenseman. Even got a shot with the Preds, if I'm not mistaken, earlier this year when they had some injury problems. You know, he's having a decent season there in the pros. Bit undersized, but you know, very mobile, very sort of modern defenseman. So he's getting his points. Another player, Yakov Trenin, who played for Gatineau in the Quebec League. Big dude. You know, he can take on responsibility. He's got some nice offensive upside. You know, he's probably a middle sixer when all is said and done. Unfortunately, he's only played 15 games because he got run into the boards by Cameron Gaunce in November. Had to have surgery, upper body injury. So hopefully, you know, we see him return pretty soon because this was his rookie pro year. And, you know, there's some nice upside there. It'll be good to see what he can do, because he's definitely adapted to the North American game. He played for Gatineau for a couple of seasons and really grew under Benoit Gruel, the coach there, who's since moved on to the pro ranks. So hopefully we see more of Trenin, but not a ton of depth in Milwaukee from a prospect angle right now. And of course, because the Preds have so many kids in college, that's kind of the reason why.
That's our look around the world of prospects for this week. We'll be back again next week with another look. For Ryan Kennedy, I'm Edward Fraser. Thanks for listening.